Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
What's happening, host?
What, do you want me to intro the show?
It'd be nice.
This is Chatterbox with your hosts, Alon.
And Ara.
And we do not have Rich this week. He's off, I don't know, gallivanting on a mountain or something in Sedona. I'm not even sure if that's where he is. He might just be, like, making breakfast. I have no idea.
He's on holiday.
Yeah, he's away. You might notice Michaela's been gone for the last couple of weeks. She was here for a little while and then gone, and we wanted to do some talk to her about experimenting with new games and things, but she went off and got a job and can't actually be here during the time of the show, so throw that whole thing out the window.
It's nice to have a female opinion once in a while.
It is, and she wasn't really here to talk about games all that much, you know, but we had specific things I wanted to talk to her about, and now, well, we got one of the two down. Anyway, this here show, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, is a show about the video game industry. We've got Ara here. He actually works in the industry. I went to school for it, and now I don't work in the industry, but I do a show. And you can visit our website at chatterboxgameshow.com, learn a little bit more about it. If you're listening live, you can call in at 866-536-1100, talk to us about anything relating to the game industry, and of course, we have topics of our own. I'd like to start off the show by asking my co-hosts what we've been doing lately. What games you've been playing, what game you've been building that you're still not allowed to tell me about.
Oh, yes, that will continue.
Damn.
Indefinitely.
Okay, fine.
But I can't wait to tell you about everything that happened this weekend to me.
In terms of?
Well, all kinds of stuff. I told you last week that I was going to speak at Collins College.
Yes.
So that totally happened.
Right on.
And that was totally sweet. It was really cool because we got to speak at the Tempe campus and then speak at the Phoenix campus.
Okay, now remind our listeners what you were actually speaking about.
We were, myself and one of the guys I work with, who's my senior at my office at our game development studio that we work at, Rainbow Studios.
Yep.
We had our own little, each of us did our own little thing, but basically we're talking about kind of how to get into the industry, how to, you know, if you want to design a game, how do you go about doing that? I was more talking about basically telling people about how I got in because I took a rather circuitous route, you could call it.
Yeah.
And my buddy Mark, which you know, Alon, basically talked about the question that he always gets, because he actually taught for many years, and he always gets a certain question all the time, more commonly than any other question. And what question do you think that might be?
What should I do to get into the game industry?
Absolutely wrong.
Wrong.
Maybe to your surprise, the question he gets most frequently is, I have, and it's not starting out as a question, but it's always like, I'll have the best idea in the world, and how do I pitch it, or market it, or sell it, or whatever, right? And invariably, this greatest idea for a game ever is insanely derivative. It's basically my favorite game on Mars instead of on the moon, right?
Okay.
So, everyone's a designer.
It's
right.
Grand Theft Auto mixed with Street Fighter 2, mixed with Battletoads.
Right, or something that isn't called Grand Theft Auto, but when you look at it, it's Grand Theft Auto. So, that was really interesting. He's a good speaker. He gave a good talk. That was fun times. We had a little bit of a Spinal Tap moment on the second talk we gave.
Tell me what that means.
That means only two people and a mom showed up on the second talk. But we had a lot better turnout on the first one. So, and I'm very willing to admit this because the comedic value of this is far more important than, you know, any kind of
that was awesome,
representation
dude.
I might have of how many people I may draw as a speaker, right?
So basically nobody showed up.
Two people and a mom.
Oh, is a mom not a person?
Well, the mom was, you know,
not one of the
just there to
students.
Accompany, but we'll include her so we can bump the count up to three.
Okay. Know? So you had three wide-eyed visitors to listen to the talk.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they actually advertised more than 3 days in advance. But anyway,
so did you just sort of like sit them down and say, "All right, let's just sit and like chat. If you have questions, let us know."
It was
actually
speech. Well, it was actually really cool because because there were so few people, we kind of like gave our talks, but then we just kind of talked to them at the same time too. And it was really awesome because the one of the kids actually played the Red Star.
Wow.
Right? I was very impressed with. And the other thing that was really fascinating to me was that there were a lot of these kids are pretty young. Like, they're interested in getting into games, but they're just out of high school, or maybe they're still in high school. And it really dawned on me, like, wow, these kids really have such a very, very basic understanding of how games are made. In other words, like, I had to explain to them what a texture was, right?
Yeah, because they're going into it like, well, I can just go to school and learn all this stuff. Whereas back in the day, like, we, if we wanted to be in the industry, it's because we were really hardcore into it and already did studying.
Yeah, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. It was just really actually mind-opening for me because I was like, wow. I was thinking back to, you know, the times when I was a young lass and, you know, I had...
Weren't you a lad?
Yeah, you know.
Isn't a lass a girl?
Isn't it the same thing?
A lass is a girl, dude.
All right, well, I'm definitely not a lass.
I should totally not have told you.
All right, well...
Okay. That is going to be a soundbite.
I just wanted that for some, you know, phonetic emphasis.
Okay.
Because lad sounds boring. Anyway, thank you for pointing that out to me. I did not have a sex change operation. I was a little boy. So anyway, yeah, it was really interesting because I was thinking back to when I was that age and I had no knowledge just like these kids. So I thought that was a really cool thing to do. Another thing I've been doing this weekend is, you know, this guy, Kenji, I've been hanging out with, he's totally depressed because the teacher that he was dating is transferring to another school and she threatened to file a restraining order against him. And this other girl, this really shy girl, Chihiro, that I walked home...
You're hanging out with a lot of Japanese people
I walked home from school with, you know, she... another girl saw me walking her home, and now that girl won't talk to me anymore.
Nice. And what do you do at night?
I go to this dungeon that appears that only I can see named Tartarus.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And I slay monsters for hours on end, but... No matter what I do, it always takes exactly an hour.
I had a feeling you might be talking about imaginary land.
Yeah, it's Persona 3.
So you're still playing Persona?
Yeah, and the depth of the simulation is getting more and more interesting.
I thought you were going to say more and more real, but it sounds... I don't know. This game still sounds wacky to me, although apparently Persona 4 is going to hit sometime not far from now.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that... The level of representation of, like, what goes on in somebody's life seems very real when I'm explaining it to you, but they don't take it very far. It's basically like, oh, you met a girl. Do you want to walk her home? Oh, she doesn't want to walk you home. Okay, you didn't walk her home. Oh, you hung out with, you know, this guy Kenji. He told you about his problem. Now now you feel closer to him.
And right? That alters the game?
It alters the game in various ways, but my point is that the conceptual level of what's going on is really interesting, but they don't go into details that much, right? Like, when I'm explaining it to you, you're expecting that there's some kind of deeper kind of social stuff with, you know, like this guy Kenji that I hang out with, right?
So why do you like it that much?
What's that?
So why do you play it so much? It sounds kind of silly.
Sometimes I play it a little bit. Sometimes I don't. You know, it's just what I'm playing now. Come on.
All right, Noah, hey. Listen, if you love it,
it's fun.
I am glad you found something to love.
I'm just saying that when the next one comes out, right, or the one after that or whatever, eventually this is going to get into a territory where it's going to get scary.
Because it just gets more detailed, you mean?
Yes, because the depth of the simulation right now is at a very kind of high concept level still in the implementation.
Okay.
And when it gets even more developed, just run screaming.
All right, cool. Apparently there's like a simulated 4-year-old in Second Life now that functions as well as a real 4-year-old.
You mean along with the flying pink body parts?
Yeah, like with the flying pink dildos. All right, we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And I almost slipped that radio thing up for a second.
How do you?
I don't know. I was going to say like something other than radio, but then I was like, no, wait a minute. We're doing a radio show. I should say radio.
This is a video game radio show.
So if you'd like to call in, you can reach us at 866-536-1100. Everybody's welcome to call in, except if you're from Maryland.
Now, I was asking you, Ara, what would we be talking about this next segment? And there's something that's been on. I mean, I think I got an email about it, and there's just been all this stuff about EA buying out Take-Two. And I was debating with you, at least before the show, whether or not we should even bother to talk about this stuff. Apparently, you've done a lot of research into this and decided that it was something, for some reason, that people want to talk about. It's very businessy, which means it tingles my feathers.
Right.
But I don't.
And it tingles my feathers.
I'm wondering if this is the sort of thing that our demographic cares about.
I don't care.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
So tell me what's going on here. We've got the now second biggest video game publisher, EA, because Activision overtook them. EA now wants to buy Take-Two, and Take-Two most well known for Grand Theft Auto.
Right. So actually, all you guys out there who are listening, if you don't care about this, you should, because this is really, really, really big news, and if you don't know already, you'll find out why in a few moments.
Well, there's been talk about it happening, like, even a year ago. They said that, you know, EA was going to, or was this another company that EA was going to have this hostile takeover of? Or was it Take-Two?
Gosh,
I don't remember, but there was something about this hostile takeover, and you never hear about hostile takeover in the video game industry unless it's relating to EA.
Yeah, this is drama. This is action, right? So,
Not for me. I don't own anything. I don't own Take-Two.
Well, the funny thing is I have stock in both Take-Two and EA.
Oh, that's funny. I have Activision.
I have Activision, too.
All right.
I basically bought all of the game stocks. Anyway, a few weeks ago, February 24th, right, EA makes this buyout offer at $26 per share. And this is just like an offer. It's a private offer to Take-Two. They're like, we want to buy you out. And Take-Two is like, no, you're crazy. Now, Take-Two's stock price before that was like $14 a share. So now, because of that offer, it jumped up to 26, right?
Well, I think they said they offered what would be 26 per share, but the shares are actually listed at closer to like 18 or something.
Well, right now, they're actually, the latest prices are $25.28 for Take-Two.
Well, look at that.
So
that's apparently correct, according to my research here. it jumped from like 18 right at the end of February.
Right. Here's the interesting thing, right? In the past, Take-Two has actually traded at a lot higher, not a lot higher than 26, but a lot higher than what it was at before, which was like 14. So EA's coming in and they're all like, look, obviously your stock is depressed. We're offering a premium. You should buy it. Take-Two says, go pound sand, obviously.
But then there was this whole thing too about how they knew about the buyout, but they didn't make the attempted buyout public because they wanted to like rearrange the amount of money people would get if they all got fired. Did you read about this?
I totally missed that.
This is something I read about
actually,
last week.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not in my files.
Not in the article that you brought in.
Not in the files, yeah.
All right. So they were doing some sort of shenanigans so that if and when the buyout happens, the bigwigs at Take-Two would walk away with a whole bunch more money. Take-Two always...
They're trying to sweeten
like
the deal.
Yeah, Take-Two is always under investigation by the SEC. Just for screwing around.
Because they're bad boys. I don't know what happened with the last round of that stuff. But anyway, last Thursday, 6 o'clock in the morning, as soon as the market opens, EA announces, okay, we're going to make a tender offer at $26 per share, which means that now they're bypassing the board of executives of Take-Two, and they're going directly to the shareholders, and they're saying, okay, now we're going to go for a hostile takeover. We want to... So now they're asking all the shareholders if they want to buy, if they want to buy themselves out, basically, right?
They're basically just putting an open order saying, we'll buy as many stocks as you'll sell for $26 a piece.
We'll buy them all, right?
So that if they can get more than 50%, then they control the board anyway because they'll just put their own board members in.
I guess that's how it works.
I think that's how it works.
That makes sense to me. I'm not going to represent myself as like a Jim Cramer or anybody who knows really anything.
And that is how it works. Because like I've owned stock, and they send the whole thing saying, do you want to vote on this guy?
You have this much
percentage vote.
Sure. So that then 4 hours after that, at 11 a.m., Take-Two releases a statement, and it asks their stockholders to take no action. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because the offer, this tender offer, will expire on April 11th. Okay? It's on the board now. That's the last thing that had happened.
And that's a few weeks before Grand Theft Auto 4 comes out.
Right. Now, Take-Two says that they're willing to enter into discussions only after Grand Theft Auto 4 is launched on April 29th.
Which I'm sure means that they get whatever money comes in from Grand Theft Auto 4 because it released when they have it. Or like day one sales.
Right.
At least.
Now, this whole thing is revolving around Grand Theft Auto 4's release. Because
and future IP rights. I mean,
right. But the main thing, I think, is just the thing that's pivoting. All this is pivoting around is this GTA 4 thing.
Yeah.
Because the really interesting thing about the way the buyout offer was phrased is that EA basically framed it as, you guys better buy this before we take the offer away. Okay? Yeah. Here's the other interesting thing that happened. The type of shareholders that own Take-Two stock now apparently has dramatically changed. Before, there were a lot more long-term shareholders. And now that all of this buyout stuff is coming up, most of those guys have sold their shares, and the people who have bought them are short-term shareholders who are not interested in Take-Two as a company, but just interested in short-term profits.
Yeah, and this is exactly what you would expect, because as soon as volatility enters, as soon as like there's all this sort of risk and craziness going on, the people who are long-term and therefore averse to risk, right, would sell, take their quick or, you know, their guaranteed increase,
sure,
let it get all volatile, and if they want it again, they can buy it again when it levels out.
Sure. Now, at the same time, I've read a few articles. I don't know how much truth or reality there is to this, but basically they're speculating that, well, even if EA buys out Take-Two, that doesn't necessarily mean the developers are going to cooperate. Now, the developers are totally free to just say, all right, screw you guys. We're going to go, I don't know, with Activision or something, if they want to, if they feel pissed off enough.
I think they made some deal where if they do, this is what I was talking about before, where like if they get dropped because of this buyout, then they get like 18 months of pay or 6 months of pay at 1.5 times their normal rate, their normal salary, something like that. It was very silly.
Yeah. Anyway, there's huge amounts of money going around in this deal, and it's going to be, it could get very, very ugly and very messy.
I think it'll just be good times all around. Everybody gets lots of money. I mean, maybe it'll all just go to the top few guys, but I don't know. It's the whole idea that these companies are public and money flows and all these decisions are made simply based on money that's in the stock market, and it has nothing to do with the actual product. And yet it then has some negative effect on
the
product.
Right. Oh, that stuff is a whole mess.
Well, this is what bugs me. In the end, let's say, like, I want to know how this could affect us as gamers, right? That's where all these issues and news events always really filter down. How's it going to affect us? And so let's say EA buys it, right? Are we thinking that Rockstar will defect and then go cook games for somebody else?
Well, I think worst, most chaotic scenario is EA buys out Take-Two. A bunch of developers within Take-Two are pissed off. They decide to either leave and, like, you know, swear their allegiance with either Activision or some other company or go independent or whatever. And
well, from what I've read, Rockstar isn't connected.
Well, Rockstar is part of Take-Two, though,
well,
right?
But they're not really owned. As I understand, they're not totally owned. They could walk away, except the IP, Grand Theft Auto, is owned by Take-Two. So it goes to whoever owns Take-Two. But Rockstar, the people who actually develop it,
right,
don't necessarily. So then you remove them, and they end up doing what's been done in the past, where they'll probably make some game that's like Grand Theft Auto, but name it something different. Right? And then EA continues to make Grand Theft Auto, but it's a crap game.
Yeah.
Right? So there's the spiritual successor to the series and versus like the namesake, kind of like Guitar Hero 3 is not made by the Guitar Hero people anymore. Right. Luckily that game is just really easy to make. So
yeah, that's getting into related to another thing I'd like to bring up later on in the show. But,
But this is what I'm saying. How will it impact, right? Well, EA is going to take over another franchise, right? And then probably turn it into something that's not nearly as good yet, has very high, flashy production values.
Well, the consolidation or the potential for it is very, very scary to me. So that's what
I don't know. You say Take-Two's a huge company and they got a lot of money, but they really only have a few games.
BioShock, Grand Theft Auto.
All right, I'll give you BioShock. All right, we'll talk more after the break.
Right on.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back again. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Zara.
Now, before we move on, we also got to mention our wonderful sponsor, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Head over to their website at uat.edu if you want to learn more about what they do and the programs that they offer that help you get into the video game industry. Rolling right along, we were talking about EA. I was questioning whether or not this buyout, let's assume it happens, right, could have any actual effect on the games that we play. And I was, I guess, reminded that perhaps Take-Two handles more games than I can remember. Because they also have 2K games, right? And
there's
2K
that.
Puts out some games that don't suck.
And didn't they...
They also did Manhunt. Nobody cares about Manhunt.
Yeah, gosh, I don't remember everything that they own. Who owns... what's that company up in Canada? RPGs?
Atlas?
No. They make like US RPGs, like Jade Empire.
That's not Take-Two, I don't think.
No? They don't own them?
No.
All right.
In fact, I think they were taken over by somebody else. It's getting
so
confusing.
Everyone's
at this
taken
point.
Over by everyone else. Like, you can hardly keep up with it.
It is. It's impossible. But yeah, like basically, it's Grand Theft Auto, and I guess BioShock hit the scene now from 2K Games, and Manhunt. But like I said, nobody cares about Manhunt. Grand Theft Auto 4, obviously, the big part of this whole deal,
that's,
right?
That's their big ticket.
Yeah, and that's why EA wants to do it right away, because they want to get all of the money that comes from the release of Grand Theft Auto 4.
I think the real reason why they want to do this quickly is because I think the release is going to be much huger than $26 a share.
Well, yeah, I mean, the it'll probably be successful enough to push the stock price up. But then again, people are all expecting it to be very successful. And now the price has already shot up. So I don't know. I don't know if Grand Theft Auto would have been enough to push the price from $14 or $18 to $26. So it might end up being a pretty silly move. If to buy the stock now and then let EA walk away would pretty much suck.
Right. Well, you know, it's one of those gambling things.
Well, that's, yeah, it always is for these short-term investors anyway. But the end result, the game that comes out, let's say 2 years from now, another Grand Theft Auto comes out. Like, it's just going to be expansion after expansion of crap that we don't want, with bad ideas probably flowing into the game. Meanwhile, Rockstar might go off and produce a game that people actually want to play, which it could be interesting, actually. It would be nice to see them do something a little bit different, perhaps refreshing, or maybe more violent and more overtly sexual.
Well, that's always refreshing.
Oh, yes. That would be grand.
Yeah. But basically, yeah. I don't think that there's going to be any short-term effects for gamers like us, but I think over the long term, this is why this is really scary, right? It's like, so now we have Activision, and Activision's much, much huger than they ever were in previous years, and there's EA, and
but
there's
Take-Two.
But
they're producing good games.
Some good games. You know how I am when it comes to that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, but in general, like, EA has a very distinct release policy. They will take a good idea and turn it into a crappy game. And that's standard. That's how they actually create games, because they create crap for the masses. So people like McDonald's, very successful, but absolute crap, right? And so EA churns out this junk. And the problem is that the people who actually appreciate gaming, you and I, and perhaps some of our listeners, get screwed, because all the other losers who are actually spending money buying games in mass continue to buy this crap.
I wouldn't make so much of a differentiation between EA and Activision in those terms, and I think that as the companies gobble each other up, there's just going to be even less differentiation as far as that goes.
I don't know. I see a clear difference between Call of Duty 4 and Medal of Honor.
Not me. But that's not my style of game. So.
Okay.
Anyway, right, next topic, if you may indulge me.
Listen, you take the helm, sir.
All right, so check this.
I can just talk about stocks all day long.
You've heard about Gibson is suing Activision for a patent.
Yeah, Gibson, the people who make guitars.
Right.
Suing Activision, the people who make Guitar Hero 3.
Yes. And they're suing them on the basis of, we have a patent on a game controller that's shaped like a guitar. Okay. Now, this was actually announced like last week, and everyone was like, oh, this is mysterious. What's going on here?
What's weird is that guitar-shaped controllers have been around for, what, 8 years?
Well, here's the interesting part. Here's the rub, is that I just saw this article on Kotaku that was revealing a few titillating details about the whole story. Apparently, the lawsuit references 1999. Now, what's so important about the year 1999?
Guitar freaks.
Exactly. A lot of you may not know this, but Konami made a game called Guitar Freaks, which uses a very, very similar guitar controller, except with three buttons.
It's essentially the Guitar Hero controller minus a couple buttons, and it doesn't have the tilt sensor.
It has a tilt sensor, actually.
Does it? Yeah. Oh, it didn't have the whammy bar. That's what it
right.
did.
Right, no
have.
Whammy bar. Got the tilt sensor.
Yeah, three buttons and a tilt sensor.
Yeah. So, basically, here's what happened is Konami applied for a patent for this guitar controller in Japan in 1999. Guess what they didn't do in America in 1999?
File a patent. Nice.
So this, I don't know if this is really true. This article in Kotaku is basically surmising or speculating that maybe Gibson silently filed this patent in the U.S. and just kept quiet about it until now when, you know, okay, maybe they made their little deal to put their logo on the guitar for Guitar Freaks or Guitar Hero, but now they're like, oh, wow, look at all this money this game is making. Maybe we should sue them.
But didn't they have a deal with Activision?
That's the funny part, is that they had this, they had a, I don't know, I mean, they had some kind of deal, obviously, right? Because the Gibson logo is on Activision's controllers.
That's very strange to me. I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware, when you have a patent, your patent only exists for 17 years, at least in the United States. So if they got this patent in 1999, if it was actually issued
right.
in 99, it's only right. good until 2016.
Okay.
At which point, you can use absolutely everything from that patent without paying a dime to anybody, because it's free domain or public domain at that point.
Right. So why is that a problem?
They've just lost 5 years of royalties.
Well, that's a very good point.
If they didn't do what was necessary to notify the infringer that they've been using their copyright, I don't think they have much room to ask for royalties.
Right. Well, nothing could have ever been infringed on until... when did Guitar Hero come out, right? That was only a couple of years ago.
Guitar Hero has been out for a couple of years, yeah.
Right, so...
But, I mean, think of how much money has been made in those couple of years.
It's explosive. Maybe some lawyer at Gibson was just rummaging around like, oh, look, a dusty patent. Maybe we should sue people because of this.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
I happen to have some experience in this whole patent law
thing. It's bizarre.
Thing
yes,
my,
you do.
My jury duty service yes. a couple months ago. So it just seems strange. I mean, not to mention the fact that, well, I guess Guitar Freaks didn't really make any money in the United States. At
no.
least not any significant amount.
Well, Guitar Freaks only came out in the U.S.
as an arcade.
In arcade form. And even then it was...
And those are probably illegally imported arcade units.
No,
anyway.
No. I think it was actually legitimately a U.S. release.
Really?
But yeah, because I think I played it a few times. Although, obviously...
Well, I've played it here, too, but there's tons of games that are imported.
Right. No, I'm pretty sure there was. And, of course, there was a very, very limited release. So, I mean, I don't know how many arcade games they made, but...
Yeah, about $0 is about what was made, give or take $2. I think that's Maybe. The standard deviation.
About, I was so probably zero. Responsible for half the profit they made off that game.
Yeah, exactly. So Well, I don't... Do we have more information on this Gibson thing? What seems strange to me is that they had the deal with Activision to make it happen or to allow it to happen or whatever, and then turn around and then say, actually, so we had this deal about you using our logo, but we didn't mention the whole time that you weren't even allowed to make that guitar.
Yeah.
Oops. Silly us.
It just goes to show that anytime you have lots and lots of money somewhere, there's going to be tons of lawsuits.
Yeah, lots and lots of lawyers. All right.
So that's the American way, I guess.
Well, we'll have something new to talk about. Is it all this law and stock stuff, is it getting boring?
It's getting exciting.
I don't know. Well, I have not gotten any emails saying, hey, let's talk more about stock buyouts.
We're going to have the lightning round next time.
All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, folks. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm along.
And, yeah, it's like, you know, when someone's always here and then he's not here anymore. It's like
we miss Rich.
We do miss Rich. There's an absence been created.
I think of more like an abscess when he is here.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. All right.
It's like women. It's like you can't live with them. You can't live without them.
That's I don't know. I can live with the right kind.
Yeah.
Well,
you're lucky if you get with the right kind.
I agree. All right. Speaking of the right kind, that's who you might find at UAT if you attend as a student. The University of Advancing Technology.
That was very deftly executed, by the way.
Wasn't it? It's a very highly competitive market over there at the video game schools where there's 3 girls and 80,000 boys.
Yes. It's highly competitive in many ways.
I'll tell you what, if I was a girl, I would want to go to game design school just to find a husband. Because, like, a bunch of smart dudes, you get your pick of the litter.
That's true.
Litter.
And you pick the ones that litter the least.
I should totally have gone to a modeling school, man. That would have been awesome.
I think you could pass for a model, for a male model.
You think so?
Yeah, totally.
What would I be modeling? Kneecaps. I could do that, hands down. All right.
Maybe a Jewish modeling school.
Modeling kneecaps. All right. So there's a couple things you wanted to talk about some more. Seriously, it's like I've got nothing. I look back on this past week. I'm like, I do not know what happened.
Yeah, you need to shape up.
Well, this is the void. It's that time of year when nothing happens.
This is and yet I bring all of this wonderfulness to this show week in and week out.
I don't know.
Check this out.
We could talk about Metal Gear Solid 4
and
PlayStation 3, how it's selling units.
Snoozeville, dude.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, you know what's not Snoozeville?
Mr. Driller.
Mr. Driller is not Snoozeville. You're absolutely correct. You read my mind.
Drill.
And or the papers on the desk. So that's coming out on Xbox Live. So I'm like, finally, maybe Xbox Live will have 3 or maybe 4 good games.
Dude, Xbox Live has a large number of fun games.
Whatever.
You know, actually, PopCap just released a disc with at least 4 of their most popular games, of Xbox Live Arcade games, but on one disc.
Boring.
I don't know if it interacts with Xbox Live Arcade like the actual Live Arcade Unplugged disc did,
yeah.
Or if it's just a disc that you play and then has the 4 games on it. Because you weren't aware, the Live Unplugged disc, like, when you pop it in, it actually brings you to Xbox Live Arcade, like that blade in the Xbox 360.
Oh, that's
and
exciting.
It makes it think that you have Live Arcade games.
All right, so check this out.
Technical detail. Sorry.
I played Monkey Ball on the Wii for the first time last week.
That is unfortunate, sir. You could have gone a whole lifetime without playing that game.
And it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. In fact, it brought to light something that I wanted to share with all you guys.
That Monkey Ball on the Wii is a piece of ass?
No. It wasn't that bad, really. It was much better than Monkey Ball 2. And if you look at the 3 games in this series, Monkey Ball, Monkey Ball 2, and this Wii version.
There's also Monkey Ball, like, Island or Adventure or something.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's like a bastard child that we don't talk about. Okay. So, if you look at these games, it's actually a very, very interesting study because, conceptually, each of these games is identical, right? And yet, there's so much variation in terms of how good the game is and how interesting the game is. And the thing that I really noticed after playing Monkey Ball on the Wii, because the Wii version, the music is so atrociously spasmodically bad. It's like, I don't know, it's like Devo flipped out and went nuts with the synthesizer, you know, after they took like four hits of crack cocaine or something.
I knew there'd be a drug reference at some point in the
show. I had to, because Devo's already flipped out. So just imagine them going nuts, and it's just like this cacophony of garbage. Like, I'm trying to play this game, this wee, like, all right, relax. On the other hand, Monkey Ball 1, the first Super Monkey Ball.
Yes.
The music in that game, it just, if you play one and then play the other, like, it's just, it's like night and day. It's like a symphony. I mean, it's not symphonic, but the music is just, it so fits the game. It so fits, like, it just, like, it motivates you to play. Like, it makes you really get into it. It's just, like, so fantastically composed.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that the first one was just a new franchise made by people who obviously had passion for the idea, and then once it became popular, they probably passed off what was technically simple to accomplish to some new team and just said, here, make this quickly?
Well, it's obvious that it's not the same people, particularly when the soundtrack is concerned. I don't know what the original group went off to do after that. But
it always has AM2, right? I bet the game is still a Sega AM2 group, but I don't know how many teams exist in AM2.
I don't think that the new one is AM2, actually. I think the first one was. Yeah, because I don't see the logo anywhere. But anyway, it's definitely, you know, the composers are different. And if you want to see how much of a difference the quality of a soundtrack makes in your experience, play Super Monkey Ball and then play the one on the Wii. And when you're playing the one on the Wii, see if you can keep yourself from tearing your hair out.
I told you, man, the whole game is crap.
The funny thing is that, you know, Tommy Tallarico, right?
I do know of him.
Tommy Tallarico used to say that game music was 50% of the game, and when that sales pitch wore thin, he would say that it was a third of the game. But really, music can have just such a profound effect on your experience that it can be way more than 50% even.
If that's the case, and it's not Guitar Hero or some music rhythm game,
right,
then there's a problem.
Well, no, it's not a problem. It's just like, it really sets the tone. I mean, people talk about like soundtracks like it's just something that's like underlying, right? But I mean, just the interaction between, you know, when you're doing something and when you're listening to music that actually goes, I mean, like, it's really hard to talk about this in concrete terms because it's about a feeling that you get, you know? It's not about like, you know, a lot of like, we can't, it's hard to kind of like deconstruct into its parts and analyze, right? So I will just say, play the first one and then play the Wii one and judge for yourself. To me, it was an absolutely profound difference.
I just have no interest in even bothering with the Wii one. I tried it at E3 years ago before the Wii was out.
Well, what was so bad about it? Because the only thing that I
noticed, the control was miserable, and then they threw in boss fights.
That's the other thing I wanted to say. The boss fights are absolutely retarded. That's actually the reason why I'm not going to buy it, because there's no reason to have a boss fight in this game. You know, when I was playing the first one, I was like, oh, gosh, I really wish I was fighting bosses. I mean, who likes fighting bosses? Seriously.
Well, but how do you fight bosses when you're encapsulated in a sphere?
It's absolutely retarded. But
and I would try it. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to accept this absolutely absurd notion that I'm in a boss battle while playing Monkey Ball. But then I couldn't do it. It was the first one. It was like demo level. The guy's throwing me all over the place. It was just silly.
Yeah.
I should be successful at a boss battle when I'm encased.
I don't know what this obsession is with boss battles. Who likes them? I hated boss battles.
What's that company that makes all those games that's nothing but boss battles?
Well, that's a different thing, because then they make them enjoyable. But it's just, you don't need to bring in the bosses. It's fine the way it is. Have your levels.
Red Star had a lot of bosses in it.
Yes, but we make it fun. It's different. Okay. It's more like a level.
There's nothing wrong with boss battles. There's just something wrong with bad gameplay.
I suppose that's really what it comes down to.
Okay.
But there's no need to mess with the formula when it works already either.
Yeah. Well, in that case, there's no need to make 8 versions of the same game. But dude, just stay away from Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz. I think
yeah,
what
Banana
called.
Blitz. That's what it's really called.
Yeah. Stay away from that stuff.
Good
please.
Times.
And Godspeed. Staying away from crappy games on the Wii. It is so difficult. It is a minefield out there.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Although Sega Superstar Tennis just came out. I want to try it to see if there's a good version of tennis.
We'll see if it's any good.
All right. We'll be back next week, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Everybody. That's what I meant to say. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.